Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Miss being with you guys, I wasn't just saying that. I meant it. I really did miss being here. And it's always good to get to be in the house of the Lord. I'm going to ask if you would go ahead and grab your Bible, stand to your feet, and we're going to read two passages of Scripture this morning. We're going to read out of Proverbs, the 29th chapter, and then Hebrews, the 12th chapter. While you're turning there, I do want to really encourage you to make plans to be with us next week as Pastor Frankie Powell is going to be with us. He is an overseer and a board of director for the church here, and he always brings a word. If you've never heard Pastor Frankie minister the gospel, you have missed out, and you need to make sure that you get here. He is such a blessing to the kingdom, and we are blessed to have him as oversight in this house. He's someone that I call for guidance and for direction in my life, and we get together on a regular basis, and he helps me, and he has been such a voice in my life, and I'm thankful for him, and I can't wait to honor him next week and for him to be with us and get to pour into this house. So Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, we're going to continue our series on vision to victory. That's what God has spoken to us to talk about in the month of January, and I encourage you, be seeking God in your life for vision, because you cannot walk in victory unless you have received vision from God, and not just a plan, not just an order, not just a five-step process of this is what I want to accomplish and this is what I've got to do to get here. Those are called goals. I'm talking about vision. I'm talking about hearing from God, knowing what he has for your life and who he wants you to be. And if you will follow that prescribed plan, the only place that you're going to end up is in victory. So let's read Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Where there is no revelation, and I shared this a few weeks ago when I introduced this series, that word revelation in the Hebrew is the word vision. Every other place that it is in the Bible, except for this one passage, it is vision. So we're going to say it like this. Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint, or they go backwards, or they perish. But happy is he who keeps the law. We're going to be people of vision. Amen. Now, let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And this is really what I want to talk about to you today. The writer of Hebrews says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. I want to point that out to you. It can so easily ensnare you, but you can also so easily lay it aside. Because if the Word of God told you to do it, then God will enable you and give you the grace that you need to make it happen. So it can so easily ensnare us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray this morning. Father, we look to you today as your word instructs us to do. We look to Jesus, who's seated right there next to you. And I pray that as we look into the word of God, that you would instruct our hearts. God, convict us of things that we need to be convicted of. Convince us of what we need to know and believe so that we can be kingdom thinking and have vision from heaven. We love you today and we surrender this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Thank you once again for being here. I'm excited about this word that the Lord has placed upon my heart today, because we have established through Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, that the importance that we should have on vision in our life. We need to be people of vision, because without vision, we only digress. You cannot move forward without vision. Without vision, people go backwards. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be the old term, a backslider. I don't want to be somebody that goes the wrong way or the opposite direction. I want to be forward-facing and advancing in the kingdom of God. And I believe that one word for this year that you need to grab hold of and you need to live in your life and you need to have the conviction and be convinced of is God wants you to be a person of advancement. He doesn't want you to be somebody that's stagnant and apathetic and just hanging out and just trying to see what's going to happen around me. He wants you to be a mover. He wants you to be a shaker. He wants you to be a person of advancement, a person of conquest, as we talked about a few weeks ago, because the kingdom of God, Jesus said, is advancing by force, and the forceful lay hold of it. And so he wants you to be a person of advancement. Why? Because he wants you to be a person of his kingdom. In fact, that is the mission statement of this house, of the Well Fort Payne, the Well Scottsboro, the Well Huntsville. And I want you, if you're a member of this house, I want you to know this by heart, because this is our vision. And if we don't have vision, it's going to perish. Right back here in the back corner, there's actually a banner that has it on it. And it's this: advancing the kingdom of God by being passionate for God and compassionate towards man. That's our vision. That's what we're going after. In fact, if anything else doesn't line up with that vision, then we're not going to do it. And that's really what I want to talk to you about in your life, is that you need to know the vision. And then once you know the vision, if it doesn't align with the vision that God has for your life, you don't need it in your life. If it doesn't come into coherency with what God has prescribed and planned, laid out by his word, by speaking to you, by what he's placed on your heart, you don't need it in your life. We want to advance the kingdom of God, because there is nothing on this earth of greater importance than the kingdom of God. Nothing. If you are a believer, you've surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you should have come under the conviction and the assurance and the knowledge that nothing is more important than the kingdom of God. There is no political agenda. There is no social endeavor that can equal or rival the potency of the kingdom of God. And what is the kingdom of God? It's God's dominion on the earth. Listen, God is seated on the throne in heaven. He is never going to leave there. He is God. Nothing can change that. But he has chosen to establish us here to develop a kingdom on the earth where he has domain, he has rule, his rules apply, his word applies. And if your vision does not line up with his kingdom, then it's not his vision. And I believe that one reason that we live frustrated, or we live depressed, or we're discouraged, is because we are trying to fulfill our plan and our vision. You will not be truly happy and fulfilled on this earth until you submit to the vision that God has for your life. You may have wanted to be a professional ballerina, but God chose for you to be a mechanic, okay? And so don't be trying to be a ballerina when God created you to be a mechanic, because think about it this way. Let's say I wanted to be a ballerina, right? I could wake up at 4 a.m. and work my tail off from 4 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon. I could put the little shoes on. I could wear the little stuff, and I could practice all day long. At the end of the day, I will never have what it takes to be a professional ballerina. I don't have the figure. I don't have the moves. I don't have, you know, but that's not what God created me to be. So stop trying to fit your life to what you want it to be. Find out, what does God want me to be? And guess what? If God wants you to be anything, he will make a way for you to be that. He'll get you in connect with the right people. He will give you the gifts and the abilities and the strength, and he'll provide for you. So find out, what does God want for my life? Because we need to understand the most important thing in our life is the kingdom of God. In fact, Jesus, when he was on the earth, he did not tell us to seek financial security first. He didn't tell us to seek the American dream first. You know what he said? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, he said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God." That's what he's saying, is I want your priority, I want the foremost thought in your mind to be kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. Seek his kingdom, seek his righteousness. And guess what? If you'll do that, he said, all these things that he's just been talking about, I'll add them unto you. I'll make sure you got a house. I'll make sure you got clothes. I'll make sure you've got food. If I take care of the ravens, if I take care of the lilies, trust me, I can take care of you. But quit putting your focus on what you need and put your focus on the kingdom. And in doing that, I'll take care of what you need. It's not that the Father doesn't want you to be blessed. It's not that he doesn't want you to be taken care of. It's not that he doesn't want you to be successful or prosperous in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body. In fact, it is my conviction, it's my belief, it's my firm belief that he wants you to be healthy and wealthy and wise. I believe that that's what God wants for his people. But he wants your priority to be placed on the kingdom. Okay? He wants your priority not to be on the things of this world, but the pursuit of his kingdom. And if you know me, this is not going to come as a surprise. I worked up this whole illustrated sermon today and left it in the back of my truck. So you're going to have to really use your imagination today, okay? I really need you to tune into your inner child. And really, I'm kind of glad, because I was going to use the analogy of a puzzle, and I could only find children's puzzles. And so it's probably for the better that I left it in the truck. Anyways, I want you to do this. I want you to look at vision, because we're talking about having vision for our life. And don't worry, we'll get to Hebrews 12. Some of you guys are like, this guy's lost his rocker. We're not even talking about what we read earlier. Trust me, we'll get there. It's okay. I want you to look at vision like this, like it's a puzzle. Okay, you remember doing puzzles? How many of you still like doing puzzles? Okay, wow, that just really separates people. Really, I mean, there's no one that's like on the fence about puzzles. Like, yeah, puzzles are okay. It's either like you are passionate about puzzles, right? And like you have the thing that like lifts it up off the table and you're like, you know, doing it. Or you're just like, yeah, puzzles are terrible. Why would anyone waste time with that? Like there's no like riding the fence about puzzles. Anyways, but we've all done them. We all understand puzzles. I want you to look at vision like a puzzle. With a puzzle, there is an end result that is going to be produced, right? And that's why they give you the picture on the front of the box that all the pieces aren't put together yet, but you have a reference point that you know this is what it's going to look like. It hasn't happened yet. It's not all come together yet. There's a few pieces that I'm not really sure where they go, but if I keep working at it and if I keep fitting them in there, eventually I'll find the place and it will come out to look like the end result that the artist had and that the makers of the puzzle had for that piece. So all the pieces come together in order to make the picture complete. Every day that you live, you are either getting closer to or further away from who God has determined you to be. Every day that you live, every choice, actually, let's not just do day, let's break it down even smaller. Every choice that you make is either getting you closer to the end result or further away from the end result. And that's why the writer of Proverbs said, without vision, people go backwards. You're either going towards who God created you to be, or you're moving away from who God created you to be with every single decision that you make. However, with puzzles and with vision and with life, problems occur when we attempt to put things in that don't align with the kingdom picture. And that's where my analogy was going to come in. I had two puzzles, and I had part of them undone, and now this is, I really should have just not done this because now I'm probably confusing you. Anyways, here's what I'm trying to say. If you have two puzzles, the pieces only fit to the puzzle that it matches. You can't take from this puzzle and force it into the other puzzle. Even if it fits, it won't look right. It won't be right. And so stop trying to take things in life that you think, well, I like how this looks, and so I'm going to try to put it into my life. If it doesn't fit in the plan that God has for your life, it will cause frustration. It will cause you to not look right, not walk right, not be right. And so when we try to take things that don't align with the kingdom, don't align with the word of God, don't align with the vision that he has for us, they're not going to fit right. But when we will submit to the vision that he has, little pieces that on its own, it's not anything. But when you fit it in there, it aligns perfectly with the rest of the puzzle. And in the end, it creates a beautiful picture. Paul said it this way. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful for me. So I can take things from life and try to put them in there. And they may not be bad things, but are they helping me? Are they benefiting me? Are they getting me closer to the end result and the desire that God has for my life? Here's what I want to say to you today. Stop allowing things that are not in line with his will for your life to have a place in your life. Because you think that it's helping you, but it's really hurting you. You think it's benefiting you, but it's actually causing you to go further away from who he has called you to be. It's like trying to fit a puzzle piece that doesn't match the puzzle and get it in there. You might force it in there, but it's not going to look like, it's not going to feel right, and it's not going to get you to the end desired result. So there's a resolution for your life, right? We're in January. Everybody is coming up with resolutions. Here's the resolution. Stop allowing things that don't line up with his will or his kingdom to have a place in your life. If you consider yourself a citizen of the kingdom, then do not tolerate things that are anti-kingdom in your life. Amen. Don't do it. Don't give them place. Don't give them weight, because realize my life is a puzzle and God is working it together piece by piece. And when I allow things that don't align with his will, his word, his kingdom, then I am becoming against who he's actually called me and created me to be. It's not only harmful, it's sinful. It's like trying to put a piece that's not a part of the puzzle into the puzzle. And when we do that, listen, they don't fit. They don't match. Chaos ensues. Life no longer makes sense. We get frustrated. We get discouraged. We get overwhelmed. We get insecure because things aren't working the way that they're supposed to be working, because it was never meant to be there. That's why the writer of Hebrews said this: let us lay aside the weight in the sin that so easily ensnares us. If it doesn't fit in your puzzle that God has prescribed for your life, get rid of it.
Yeah.
Throw it away. Put it to the side. The Greek word for our phrase, lay aside, comes from the same root word as apostasy, which means to turn away or to depart. So what the writer is saying is you need to turn away, you need to depart from anything that is hindering your vision that God has prescribed for your life. The actual word, it means to cast off. It means to renounce. And that word renounce, I love this. It means to formally declare the abandonment of one's claim. Anything that you have claim on that is not something that God has claimed for you to have, you need to formally renounce it, divorce yourself from it. That's why I was saying earlier, it's time for doubt to go. Because listen, doubt doesn't fit in your puzzle. Insecurity doesn't fit in your puzzle. Worry doesn't fit in your puzzle. Addiction doesn't fit in your puzzle. And so we've got to lay it aside because it's hindering you from being the complete picture of who God created you and called you to be. And could there be anything more heartbreaking to the Father than to create you for something specific and you to choose to go against what He created you to be, who He's called you to be? I want to encourage you today, release the burden so that you can receive the vision. Because you can't hold the vision and hold on to the weight and hold on to the sin any longer. It's holding you back. The weight, I believe, is in reference to shame and guilt and condemnation. I believe that's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. Lay aside the weight that so easily ensnares you, the baggage that you've been carrying, the bondage of, I've been a sinner and I've messed up this way and I've messed up that way and I'm not who I'm supposed to be. And so get rid of the guilt. Get rid of the condemnation because it doesn't paint the picture that God's trying to paint in your life. Because when God looks at you, if you have asked Him to forgive you of your sins, He takes those sins and removes them as far as the east is from the west. It's not even in the picture anymore. He chooses to remember them no more. You've got to let it go because your baggage can't fit in your puzzle. Yeah. Now listen to me on this. It's not that God can't use your story. I'm not saying God won't take the broken parts and the testimony and the difficulty. What I'm saying is this. You can no longer be that person.
Yeah.
I'm not saying God won't take the fact that you used to struggle with an addiction to pornography or to alcohol, and He won't use that to make something beautiful in your picture. What I'm saying is you can't carry the weight of that any longer.
Yeah.
You've got to let it roll off of you and realize if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That might be a part of my past, but I'm not carrying it into my future. I'm going to let the weight of it lay aside. I'm going to depart it. I'm going to publicly renounce the shame and the guilt. It's like God told the Israelites when after they'd come out of Egypt, years and years and years, He said, today the reproach of Egypt has been rolled away from you. The guilt and the condemnation that you've carried of we were slaves and we were in bondage, today it's rolled away. You have got to renounce the guilt and the doubt and the condemnation that is in your life. Cast it off. Make a formal decision of abandonment concerning your former conduct. I'm not that person anymore. I've been renewed by Christ Jesus. You've been cleansed by the blood. You've been washed whiter than snow, but you have to choose to lay it down. Listen to me. You can't change the work of the cross, but you can choose whether you're going to allow it to have the power to transform your life or not. But listen, that weight can't come where God's calling you to go. It doesn't fit. Just like if a puzzle piece is too big for a certain spot on that puzzle, you can't just jam it in there. You've got to find the right piece. And what I'm saying is when you are carrying that weight, it won't fit where God's calling you to go. You've got to let it go. It doesn't fit the puzzle. Redemption does, but condemnation does not. So what I'm saying is, yes, God will use your story. He'll use the fact that you used to deal with this, or you used to be that way, or you used to treat your spouse like this, you used to lie, you used to cheat, you used to do all this stuff. I'm not saying He won't use that. What I'm saying is you cannot be weighed down by the condemnation that comes with that. Redemption is a part of your story, but condemnation is not. So He says, let us lay aside the weight. That word weight means encumbrance or hindrance. Remove anything that's going to hinder you getting to where God has called you and created you to be. The word encumbrance means a burden or impediment. It's an obstruction that hinders one from doing something. So what am I saying? If God called you to be something, it's not just going to magically happen if you're still trying to carry around the impediments that are keeping you from who He called you to be. You have got to choose. What do I want more? Do I want to be who God called me to be, or do I want to stay connected to the weight and the burden of the past? and to sin and to shame and to guilt and to condemnation. If you want to walk in vision to victory, there are some impediments in your life that you're going to have to remove. It's like this. An impediment would be like getting a stone in your shoe. Actually, Ronnie and I were talking earlier before church. He was telling me that they went rabbit hunting yesterday morning, and he was telling me about the pants that they wear that are thick pants so that the briars can't get through them, but they're walking in water and wet land. And I was asking him, well, do you tuck your and this just shows how much of a rabbit hunter I am. I was like, do you tuck your pants in your muck boots? And he said, no, we put them outside, because if we didn't, the briars would then fall down into our boots, and then they'd be in your sock, and then they'd be sticking your foot. That is an impediment. And there is nothing more frustrating than getting something in your shoe. I swear to y'all, if something was in my shoe right now, I don't care if y'all see my mismatched socks or not. These shoes are coming off, and I'm getting it out. I will not walk around on the stage with something inside of my shoe. I don't like stuff in my shoes, and I don't like being sticky. If I get something sticky on my hands, I cannot function. It's just like my mind I've got blinders on. I'm like, where's a sink? Where's some soap? I don't mind being dirty, but I do not like being sticky. Sticky is like the worst thing. That's an impediment to me. It's something that bothers me. And what does it do? It hinders me from moving forward. And so when I'm telling you, got to get rid of the weight, I'm not trying to come down on you. I'm trying to call you up to a better place of realizing it's hindering you from being who God called you to be. And listen, if it's hindering you from being who God called you to be, you don't need it in your life. You might think it's a comfort zone. You might think, well, I've got to stay this way. You have got to remove those things from your life, because they are holding you back from being who God called you to be. You can't carry the vision and the weight of your past. You've got to let it go. You know what else hinders vision and victory? Sin. Because sin separates man from God, and victory apart from God is not possible. So that's why the writer didn't just say, get rid of the weight. He said, get rid of the sin. Why? Because the weight is present because sin was present. Yeah. Sin causes the weight. And sometimes we want to lay aside the weight because it'll make us feel better. But you also need to get rid of the cause, not just the issue. And the issue is the weight. Yeah, there's weight. Why is there weight? Because someone sinned against me, or I sinned against God and against myself. And that caused the weight. That caused condemnation. That caused shame. That caused guilt. And so I've got to get rid of that. But if I get rid of the weight, but I just keep on sinning, guess what? The weight's going to come back. And so that's why I said get rid of the weight and get rid of the sin, which so easily will ensnare you. Okay, so we've got to lay these things aside. What is sin? Sin is missing the mark. It's not just doing something bad. It's also failure to do what is right. Lay aside the weight and the failure to do what is right. And I want to encourage you with this today, and I would encourage you to write these down. We're going to have them on the screen for you. When you are struggling with temptation, I want you to remind yourself of this. If you're taking notes, write this down. Number one, Christ in me is greater than my desire to do the wrong thing. You need to say this over yourself. Write this down. When the enemy comes at you and he tempts you to sin and to miss the mark and do something that is opposite of the prescribed will of God, something that does not line up with his word, something that's going to hinder you from walking in the fulfillment of the vision, you declare and you say, Christ in me is greater than my desire to do the wrong thing. Because remember the word of God says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And sometimes we try to fight temptation on willpower alone, and that is a surefire recipe for failure and absolute disaster. Don't try to do it based on your ability to say no, because guess what? You can say no maybe once. You can say no maybe twice, but you can't say no 1,000% of the time, because we are all still human and we all still have a sin nature and flaws inside of us. But Christ inside of you is yet greater than your desire to do the wrong thing. So remind yourself of that. And then also say this, the Holy Spirit is a stronger helper than the devil or my flesh is a tempter. Remind yourself of that. God gave you a friend in the Holy Spirit. He gave you a helper. He gave you an advocate. In fact, the exact word in the Greek is parakletos, and it means one who is close beside. That word para means to be close or to come alongside. He gave you a helper in the Holy Spirit. And guess what? When we think that the temptation is stronger than the Holy Spirit, then we are in a place where we are giving more credit to sin and to temptation and to our own flesh than we are to the power of the Holy Spirit. So remind yourself of that. The Holy Spirit is a stronger helper than the devil or my flesh is a tempter. Here's the last one. Remember this. The Father's love for me is deeper than the world's ploy to entangle me. Because God loves me so much, He sent His Son on the cross to die, not just for the sin that I'm going to commit, but also make a way for me to not walk in sin any longer, but to walk in freedom. Because it is for freedom that Christ Jesus has set us free. Therefore, do not let us return again to the yoke of slavery. So remind yourself of this, that while I was still a sinner, Jesus died for me. That's what the book of Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says. The Father's love for me is deeper than the world's ploy to entangle me. So remind yourself of that. Christ in me is greater than my desire to do the wrong thing. The Holy Spirit is a stronger helper than the devil or my flesh is a tempter. The Father's love for me is deeper than the world's ploy to entangle me. And what happens is when you declare that, when you speak that with your mouth, listen, don't just think it, speak it. Yeah. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You need to speak those things out loud. Why? One, because all of those things line up with the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you're speaking faith when you speak those things. But what you're also doing is you're reminding yourself and your enemy, I'm not alone in this fight. I don't have to face this on my own. And sometimes when we are dealing with temptation and we're dealing with the desire to do the wrong thing, we isolate ourselves and we think, I'm the only one that feels this way. I'm the only one that's struggling this way. Or I'm fighting it all on my own. No, you are not. If you are a son or daughter of God, He has given you everything that you need to fight against the temptation of the enemy. So you need to remind yourself and remind the devil. And listen, he will be scared when you begin to declare with your mouth, Christ in me is greater than my desire to do the wrong thing. The Holy Spirit is a greater helper than my flesh or the enemy is a tempter. When you begin to declare the love of God for me is greater than the ploy of the world to distract me or to entangle me, you are reminding yourself and the enemy, I'm not fighting this battle alone. Right? You ever seen maybe in like an old TV show or in a movie, there's like this wimpy kid and he's going to try to fight this big bully, and the big bully sees the big guy behind him instead of, you know, and he thinks that like he's the one that's scaring the bully off. Am I the only one that's seen movies like that before? You guys? Okay. All right. Okay. All right. I'm just making sure. You know, crowd communication would be helpful. This means yes, right? And it's like that. It's not us that scares the enemy. It's not us that has the power to defeat the enemy, but God inside of us will give you the ability to say no to temptation. You're not in this alone. God has ordained the steps of your life, and He has ordained and prepared your path. He has all the pieces to the puzzle. Here's what I love about puzzles, is when you open the box, all the pieces are already there. You just have to put it together. And it's the same with your life. How do I know that? Because the book of 1 Peter says, by His divine power, He has given to us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. God's already given you every single thing that you need, but you have to trust the process of the puzzle coming together, and you will never get to the end result until life is over. The picture isn't complete until you're done with life. But here's the cool thing. Not one piece is missing. Not one piece is out of place in God's plan for your life. He has strengthened you. He has come alongside you to enable you to walk from vision to victory. But the enemy plans to ensnare you, but God's plan is for you to be free. Yeah. God's vision is for you to be victorious over sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Paul writes to the church in Corinth. He says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. That's another thing that you have to remember when you're dealing with temptation, is don't think you're stronger than you actually are. Realize, I am a weak person, but it's because I'm weak that I understand that in Him I can be made strong. Yeah. So don't try to fight it on your own, because you're not as strong as you think you are. Verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful. Say that with me. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Something you need to understand. He will not take the temptation. It never says in that passage, that God will take away the temptation. It says He'll make a way through the temptation. He'll make a way of escape. He will give you the vision that will lead you to victory and the way that will see you out. It's like the parting of the Red Sea for the Israelites. They came up to, their backs were against the sea and the Egyptians were facing them. God didn't make it all disappear. He made a way. He made the waters to part. And it will take, to walk in this, it will also take endurance. That's what the writer of Hebrews says. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 again. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weight, every weight, not just the weight, but every weight, and the sin, which so easily ensnares us, and the you see, the journey isn't over when you just get it out of your life. Yeah. Now you've got to run. You couldn't run before with a weight. You couldn't run with a sin. But now that you've gotten rid of the weight, now that you've gotten rid of the sin, now it's time to run. How do we run? We run with endurance. The race that is set before us. That word endurance in the Greek simply means patience. And what I want you to know is it's going to take patience to see the completion. Amen. You know why most people don't finish puzzles? They don't have any patience. Yeah. So like all the people that raised their hands said they like puzzles, you're the patient people. Those of us who don't like puzzles, we're not patient enough. Especially, I mean, when you get into those like 1,000-piece puzzles. Like I went to Walmart yesterday to get some puzzles, and that's why I got kid puzzles. Because there was like 16 pieces, right? It's like I saw these like 1,000 pieces. I was like, nope. I love those people, but not that much. Like I'm not going to put all those little pieces together. I don't have time. Who's got time for that? It's going to take patience. Because listen, you're not going to be who God called you to be tomorrow. You can be who God called you to be tomorrow, but you're not going to be the end result picture on the front of the box tomorrow. We're all in a process. We're all in a journey. And listen, don't discount your process and don't put yourself down because you're not where you want to be yet. It's okay. There is grace and God is along with you for the journey, getting you there, but you're going to have patience. It's going to take patience to see completion. It doesn't happen in a day or a month or a year or a decade. It happens over the course of a lifetime. Good. Okay? So just keep running with Him. Just keep trusting Him. Just keep putting the pieces where they fit. Trying this one here, trying this one there. And listen, here's the thing about puzzles also. It's just because it doesn't fit doesn't mean it won't fit. That's right. You ever found that in a puzzle? It's like, I know it's part of the puzzle because it came in the box. Yeah. Unless you got it from like, you know, Aldi or Dollar Tree or Ollie's or something. And then you might, that might not be a good example. But, you know, if you get a good puzzle, if it's in the box, it goes in the picture. But that doesn't mean it fits right now. Because you got to get the border outlined, and you got to work your way in. And it might be a centerpiece, but it doesn't fit on the outside. So listen to me. Just because it doesn't fit right now doesn't mean it's not going to fit later. Trust God's process. And that's why the writer said, let us run with endurance. Let us run with patience, realizing that it's not all going to come together when I want it to come together. It's going to happen in His time. So be patient and one day at a time. But you also, why do you have to have vision? What is the vision? Vision is the front of that puzzle box, okay? You have to have it because if what you're trying to put in there doesn't match the picture on the front, you don't need it. Yeah. So just because it doesn't fit doesn't mean it won't fit yet. But also, you have to remember, if it doesn't fit and if it doesn't look like the vision that God has given me, then I'm not going to waste my time on it. Yeah. I'm not going to give my attention and my devotion to things that do not fit in the vision that God has for my life. I'm going to focus on the one thing that He's called me to do. But here's another trick of the enemy. He'll try to get you to look at somebody else's puzzle, somebody else's vision, and think, well, their picture's prettier than mine, right? I've got a picture of an old broke down shack and they've got an ocean scene, right? And I want the ocean scene. But if you try to take pieces from their ocean scene and put it in your broken down shack, it's not going to be a shack with an ocean. It's going to look like an absolute mess. And you could try to force it in there and make it work, but it will never work because that's what puzzles are intended for, is they only fit together with the specific pieces that go with that puzzle. And so quit looking at somebody else's picture and going, man, they get to be a teacher. They get to be a banker. They get to do this. They get to do that. Listen, God gave you a picture And God gave you a puzzle. And God's given you a vision. And don't measure it against somebody else's. God spoke this to me a long time ago. It's become a mantra in my life. Comparison is the thief of satisfaction. I found this to be true. It doesn't matter if you're doing something as trivial as playing golf or living your vision for your life. If you compare yourself to somebody else, you will never be satisfied with who God actually created you to be. If I spend my entire life measuring, I play guitar and sing, right? Do worship. If I spend my entire life measuring myself against someone like Phil Wickham, I'll never be happy with who I am. That doesn't mean that he's not talented, he's not amazing, but he is. He's great at what he does. But if I spend my life comparing myself to what he's done and how he sings and how he plays, I'll never be happy with who God created and called me to be. So stop looking at somebody else's vision, somebody else's puzzle, because what happens is that'll get you off course from who God's called you and created you to be. Because guess what? Your picture and my picture aren't the same thing. We're not called to be the same person or do the same thing. God's plan for your life is specific. And I believe that's why the writer of Hebrews said, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. God has set a race before you. That's your race. So don't try to run somebody else's race, right? Don't focus on their journey. Don't focus on their struggles. Don't focus on their success. You keep, in what it says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despised the shame. So you keep looking at Jesus. You keep looking at the vision that he has. Keep that puzzle box in front of you. You ever heard of Chad Leclos? Yeah, I didn't know his name either until yesterday. I had to look him up. Chad Leclos is South Africa's most decorated Olympian of all time. He's got 4 medals. And, I mean, our Olympians are much more decorated than that. I think 4 medals would be like 100th on the list of all-time Olympians. But that's just, I'm just proud to be an American. Hey, I just had to brag for a second over South Africa. Anyways, Chad Leclos, even though he is the most decorated medalist of all time for South Africa in the Olympics, he is a very gifted swimmer. He's a great competitor. I mean, I made a joke about him having 4 and like our Olympians, but I don't have any. So I probably should have just kept my mouth shut. But you know why I don't have any? It's not in my puzzle, okay? That's not what God created me to be. But do you know what Chad Leclos is actually most known for? When you Google him, you know what doesn't come up is his 4 medals or a picture of him holding them. If you Google the name Chad Leclos, one of the first pictures that comes up is this one right here. I think Donna has it for us back there. He's the guy in the lane behind Michael Phelps. Now, if I said, do you know who Michael Phelps is? Unless you've just been living under a rock, you would know who that was. But when I said, who's Chad Leclos? I don't know. In fact, the way I found this picture was I Googled the guy that looked at Michael Phelps while he was winning gold. And that's what came up. But if you Google Chad Leclos, this is one of the first pictures that comes up, not him holding his medals that he's won. Even though in 2012, he did win a gold medal in the 200-meter butterfly, which is this event in 2016 in Rio that Michael Phelps absolutely torched him on. Now, why is this important? Why did I show you that picture? Because Chad Leclos is not most known for winning 4 medals in the Olympics. You know what he's most known for? Watching Michael Phelps win his 20th gold medal in the 200-meter butterfly event in the 2016 Rio Olympics. So what's my point? Stay in your lane. Amen. Stay in your lane. Look at him. It's obvious he's looking. In fact, they made memes about this. The crying Michael Jordan face. They put it on top of Chad Leclos looking at Michael Phelps because he was focused on what Phelps was doing. He wasn't. And listen, it's not that he wasn't gifted or fast enough to win it. How do I know that? He had won it 4 years earlier in 2012. And he's a lot younger than Michael Phelps. Yeah. But do you know why? One reason why he didn't win is his focus wasn't on his lane. His focus was on Michael Phelps. And when you live your life looking at somebody else or something else other than who God called you and created you to be, and you're not focused on, I need to lay aside. And listen, not just the good, but also the bad. Some people are so focused on getting everybody to lay aside the weight and the sin that they don't even focus on the speck that's in their own eye. Remember what Jesus said? Don't help somebody get a plank out of their eye till you get the speck out of your own eye. You lay aside your weight. You lay aside your sin. And guess what? Focusing on denying temptation with the help of God will keep you busy enough that you don't have to worry about everybody else's stuff, okay? And so you focus on what God has called you to do and who God has called you to be. So run your race. Don't get caught up in what somebody else is doing, no matter if they're doing great or if they're doing terrible. You focus on who God has called you to be. Look at the end result. That's why you've got to get vision. But listen, all this stuff I'm talking about will not help you if you don't get vision from God. Back to square one. Get to the throne of God and ask Him, what do you have for my life? Will you show me through your word? Will you show me and help me and instruct me and guide me? Maybe you need to seek some godly counsel in your life. Maybe you need to go to somebody that you trust, that you know hears from God and say, will you help me to find out what vision is? Will you help me learn to hear from God? Will you help me to learn how to study the word of God? But do not stop until you get vision, because if you don't have vision, you're going to perish. But once you get that vision, you've got to lay aside the weight and the sin, and you've got to run with endurance the race that's set before you. Don't try to run my race. Listen, my race and your race are totally different, and that's okay. You be who God called you to be, and don't measure your picture against somebody else's picture. Amen? Stand to your feet. I think one of the greatest lies that we could believe is there's a scoreboard, and that your life is measured on the same scoreboard as somebody else's scoreboard. You may look and go, well, by the time they were 35, they'd already done this, 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 and this, and this. That's okay. Guess what? Abraham didn't see the promise till he was 100 years old. So just hang on, right? We don't look at Abraham and go, what a failure, man. We also don't look at Abraham and go, what a late bloomer. You know, like, and this guy, he's dragging his feet for a long time. No, he wasn't. He was trusting God and believing. But in God's time, it happened. So it may not have happened yet, but just keep trusting Him. And so what I want to do this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you have some weight and some sin that's been easily entangling you between you and God, I'm going to ask you to make a formal renouncing statement against that sin and that weight, and just lift your hand. I want to pray with you today. If you have some weight and some sin that you're saying, there's some things that's been hindering me and keeping me from being who God called me to be fully, completely. Listen, my hand's up today. Because I know I'm not perfect. I know there's areas and there's times that my eyes get on the wrong things off of the prescribed plan. I start measuring myself against somebody else. But today we are renouncing that and we are declaring formally, I am going to walk away from that. And so I'm going to ask you to take a step further. I'm going to ask you to come to the altar today if you lifted your hand. There's no reason in this house ever to be embarrassed. Because listen, you don't go to the altar because things are wrong. You go to the altar to get things right. And so I'm going to ask you to come find a place here today and just begin to renounce the sin, renounce the shame, renounce the guilt. In fact, I just speak this over you today. The Word of God says in the book of 1 John, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and He knows all things. And so, Lord, I just speak, I break condemnation off of this house today. I break the thought of I'm not enough or I've done too much or I've gone too far, and I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And I declare today, we will formally renounce and separate and divorce ourselves from the weight and from the sin. Lord, I pray for the one that has been struggling with debilitating sin, that has been hindering and holding back. And I pray today that they would fully allow the blood of Jesus Christ to wash and cleanse their mind and their heart and their hands. And Lord, I declare your word, which says that you have set us free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And we're not going to go back. But today we make a fresh commitment today to lay those things aside. And Lord, I pray that you would give the grace to not pick them up when we walk away today. But I pray that as we lay them on the altar, that they would be gone once and forever. As Paul said, I'm not just dead to sin. Sin is dead to me. And I pray that these things would be dead to us in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that if it's a relationship that someone doesn't need to go back to, that you would give them the wisdom to know how to walk that out. If it's a substance that they're trying to lay down, if it's just a bad and wrong pattern of thinking, Lord, if it's measuring themselves against somebody else, I pray that today you would reveal to them the picture of who you created them and called them to be. And I thank you that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Lord, I pray that we would not leave here today until we know the strength and the peace and the hope and the conviction that comes from having you inside of us. So Lord, I'm just praying today for a special grace to be upon your people. And Lord, we just, right now, if you're in the altar, you can do this in your seat if you want. Just begin to repent for that weight. Repent for that sin that has so easily ensnared us. It's amazing how we can look back and see how easily it pulled us down, how easily it held us back. But I declare today, no more, but victory is in your future. Success is in your future. As you seek first, not the victory, you don't seek the success, but as you seek the kingdom of God, and as you seek the righteousness that can only come through Jesus Christ, you are going to be victorious and successful. I declare that over you, that this will be a year of advancement. It'll be a year of growth. It will be a year of maturity. Father, take us deeper in knowing you. And Father, use us for your glory and for your honor. Lord, I pray that you would help us to not dabble in comparison. Let us not look at the lane to our left or the lane to our right, but help us to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Thank you, Jesus, that you completed the race. Thank you that you did everything perfectly, and that your word says you sat down at the right hand of the Father. And I thank you that we can look to you and find the hope and the peace that we need. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you, and may you walk in the vision that God has prepared for you so that you can understand and know the victory that he has prepared for you to walk in. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. Have a blessed week. Hope to see you Wednesday night.